church. Choir, stand with me, and let's sing what he was playing. Turn over to page 120 if you need it, and let's sing about the victory we have in Jesus. All right, sing now.
I heard an old, old story, how sin came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his glory, of his precious blood's atoning, and I repented of my sin, won the victory.
To a great time. Remember now, if you're going to invite someone, make sure you tell them it starts at 10:30. All right, so don't forget that. Also, please remember all the prayer requests from this morning. We have a lot of folks that are in very, very serious need physically, and we just want to lift them up tonight in prayer. And let's remember all of those, and remember all the announcements from this morning. We look forward to a great evening. Brother Don brought a wonderful message this morning. Amen.
Amen.
And I've thought about that many times through the day. I don't know whether to say thank you or oh me, but it was a great message, and I appreciate it very much. I love folks that preach the word, amen. And Brother Don does a tremendous job. Him and Miss Carla do a tremendous work, and we're very thankful that they're a part of our church. And they came out of Calvary. I love the way he put that this morning. They came from this church. We sent them on the mission field to Peru, and we're very thankful to be a part of that. We want to continue to lift them up in prayer. But let's do good, Lord, tonight and ask him to be with our pastor as he speaks to us in a few moments. The ladies are going to be singing tonight for you. Choir's going to sing a song. So just enjoy the service. Enjoy the spirit of the Lord tonight. We've come this way to worship him, and that's what we absolutely want to do. Let's go to him in a word of prayer. Father, we love you, and we thank you. Lord, what a wonderful day it's been. Lord, thank you for a choir practice, Lord, that we could feel your presence in. Lord, thank you for our choir, Lord, for our musicians. Thank you, Lord, for our pastor. Thank you, Lord, for every aspect of our church, our deacons, and, Lord, the security team that met this afternoon. And Lord, you know exactly what's needed. We just want, Lord, to be mindful, Lord, of the things that transpire in this world. And we want to be, Lord, aware. And, Lord, we want to be ready. And we want to be what you'd be pleased with to use. Lord, again, be in the service tonight. Lord, I pray that you touch the offering, both the gift and the giver. Be with those that are going through a difficult time physically, Lord, financially, emotionally, whatever the need. Lord, you're able to meet it. Lord, again, I pray that you'd speak to our pastor tonight. Be with the choir and be with the ladies, Lord, as they sing in a few moments. We'll praise you now. We'll thank you for all that's accomplished in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Anybody glad you're saved tonight? Say amen. Amen. Every time we sing this song, and I know we've sang it a lot, been singing it now for years, it always takes my mind back to the Diplomats and how much we always enjoyed it when they would come and they would sing this song. And then I'll never forget Toby Cochran. Y'all remember Toby? Man alive. And he started singing this song and singing the verses. And he'd always say, "Brother, I knowed when I got up I'd been changed." He's just as country as he could be. I love him. Love his family. So you pray for us tonight. The spirit is still the same. The message is still the same. The question is, do you know for sure that you've been saved, that if you were to leave this place tonight, you'd know where you would spend eternity? I know when I got up, Larry, that I'd been changed. What a wonderful moment, what a glorious time. The day I met Jesus, I was his and he's mine. Blinded eyes are now open, I can see the light of day. What a great jubilation, the night I got saved. When I got up, listen to this. What a wonderful moment. What a glorious time. The day I met Jesus, I was his and he's mine. Blinded eyes are now open, I can see the light of day.
Now the one you knew then is not the one you see now.
point I've been scared, but I know I have a Savior who knows right where I am and hears my prayer. In the midst of all my problems and the burdens of this life, I will call upon the one who can get me through the night. Lord, hold my hand in the middle of my storm. When I'm sinking down, help me to stand. When the waves are crashing around, may I keep my eyes on you. Can help me get through the middle of my storm. I don't know how the story will end. I didn't see this in the plans you had for me. But I know that I can trust in the one who's working all things for my good. Though I may not know the answers till I reach the other side, I will keep my eyes on Jesus till my faith becomes sight. Lord, hold my hand in the middle of my storm. When I'm sinking down, help me to stand. When the waves are crashing around, may I keep my eyes on you. 'Cause Lord, you're the only one who can help me get through the middle of my storm. You're greater than my problems, greater than my fears. You are greater than my weakness, greater than my tears. And you've never let me down. And you are here with me right now.
Right now.
Lord, hold my hand in the middle of my storm. When I'm sinking down, help me to stand. When the waves are crashing round, may I keep my eyes on you. 'Cause Lord, you're the only one who can help me get through. You are the only one who can help me get through the middle of my storm. The middle of my storm.
Quick, Justin, I'm so sorry. I hardly made it through that song. I just wanted to say that, like Dad said earlier, we're learning a new song in the choir, and he really spoke to him. He said, I feel like it was only for me, but I know if it's for me, then it's for somebody else. And when we first started learning this song, I was just kind of going through some stuff that it was real big to me. And sometimes the things that are the unspoken things in our life are the things that hurt the worst. I don't know, the things that are easier to talk about aren't typically the things that are hurting us so bad. The things that hurt the deepest, we don't typically talk about, and it's our unspoken prayer request. So I don't know if it's okay with you. I want to go back and try do that second verse one more time. Maybe I can make it through it better this time. But I pray that sometimes our secrets, sometimes our things that are unspoken prayer requests hurt. And I just pray that that you'll let this song speak to you. And if you're in a storm, God will carry you through it. If you're not in a storm, there's one on the horizon. But I know out of this group of people, I can look around the room and know some of the storms that you have been through. And I know we can all look back and remember the times that he carried us through those storms. But if you're going through something right now, I just pray that you let God speak to you and let this song minister to you, and just let God in. Let him help you with some of those unspoken things. I don't know how the story will end. I didn't see this in the plans you had for me, but I know that I can trust in the one who's working all things for my good. Though I may not know the answers till I reach the other side, I will keep my eyes on Jesus till my faith becomes sight. Lord, hold my hand in the middle of my storm. When I'm sinking down, help me to stand. When the waves are crashing round, may I keep my eyes on you. 'Cause Lord, you're the only one who can help me get through the middle of my storm. Lord, you're greater than my problems, greater than my fears. You are greater than my weakness, greater than my tears. And you've never let me down. And you are here with me right now.
Right now.
Lord, hold my hand in the middle of my storm. When I'm sinking down, help me to stand. When the waves are crashing round, may I keep my eyes on you. 'Cause Lord, you're the only one who can help me get through.
You are the only one who can help me get through
the middle of my storm.
Blessing being here tonight. Did y'all enjoy the music tonight? Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. If Mary Kelly's watching, I want to say thank you for my little fan. For my little fan. Got me a little fan up here. And has a USB cord to charge it. So that's a future little fan, a futuristic. I'm used to the kind of the ones with the batteries in it. And but anyway, good to be here tonight. And it's been a good day. I've appreciate the message this morning, Brother Don. And praying for you guys as you Get ready to head back. It seems like time flies when you're here. And time is always flying by. I just want to encourage us to continue to pray for everyone on the prayer list, as Brother Allen mentioned a moment ago. But for those who weren't here this morning, we some sad news, but some exciting news. Sad news is that lost a couple missionaries. Didn't lose them. They passed, and over time, that kind of thing happens. It's natural progression. When you get older, eventually you'll pass. But the good news is we replaced them with Darren Townsend, which is getting ready to go to Peru to be with Miss Brother Don and Sister Carla, and Vernon and Jeanette Peppers, fairs and festivals. So there's one for foreign missions and one for home missions. So we're trying to fulfill the Great Commission. And again, Victory Baptist Press, they've done a great thing for us, getting ready to mail out thousands of church invitations with the gospel on there, free of charge, postage paid and all. But of course, we're going to give a love gift for them doing that. So anyway, all right, let's take our Bibles tonight for a few moments and turn to the book of Mark chapter 16. Mark 16. I just encourage you to pick up a bulletin and check out this month and next month the things that we have going on. Mark chapter number 16. And I want to bow for a word of prayer, and then I want to read from verse number 1 down through verse number 7. Lord, we pause one more time in your name, and we pray, Lord, that you would speak to us tonight as you did this morning through your messenger. Lord, I desire to be used, and Lord, I desire that the hearts of your people would be touched by you. By the time that we leave, my prayer is that we would be in better shape than when we came. We love you tonight, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Mark 16, notice if you would, verse number 1. And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. Verse 3, and they said among themselves, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he saith unto them, be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him, as he said unto you. That's going to be our verses tonight. Mark chapter 16, verse number 1. Down through verse number 7. I want to call your attention to verse number 7, where the Bible says, but go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him, as he said unto you. The account here is given of the risen Lord. And we know that he was crucified. We know that he was buried. We know that he rose again. And he is now going forth unto Galilee as he said he would. Now, in verse number 5, we see that there was a young man sitting there clothed in a long white garment. Verse 5 says that. And it also says that these women, they were affrighted. They were afraid. They were alarmed. Imagine if you looked in a hole bored out the side of a mountain or a hill and seen somebody in a long white garment. You know, you might be affrighted too. But we know that this angel calmed their fears and assured them that Jesus was risen and was not in the tomb. Verse 6 again. And he saith unto them, be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. And so this is the account that we have with this young man sitting here in this long white garment. He calmed their fears and assured them that Jesus was alive. In verse number 7, something else about this angel is that this angel had a specific message for the disciples. This specific message for the disciples was to be delivered through the ladies. Look in verse number 7 again. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. So this message was that Jesus went before them into Galilee as he said he was after his resurrection. You can go back to Mark chapter number 14 and you could see there in verse number 28 where he says, Jesus, words in red, but after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. And so we have a message to these disciples to be delivered through the ladies. But I want to go a step further tonight. It was a message to the disciples, but it was a special message for Peter. Notice again verse number 7. He says, but go your way, tell his disciples and Peter. Why the wordage there? Why the specific expression and Peter? Well, if you remember, Peter denied Jesus 3 times as Jesus predicted he would. And we know that after Peter denied Jesus 3 times, that the Bible says he went out and he wept. Mark chapter number 14 and verse number 72 says this. And the second time the cock crew, and Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said unto him before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. And when he thought thereon, he wept. And so we remember that Peter denied the Lord, and he was reminded of this as we just read the words of the Lord, and he went out and he wept. And so we have a weeping Peter. We have Peter who is discouraged, if you would. We have a discouraged Peter. We have Peter here who is following from afar and who has been following from afar. And so I believe tonight that if this angel had not specifically said, and Peter specifically, then he would not have dared to respond to the message. I know sometimes in life when me, myself, when I fall short of the glory of God, which is every day, but there's more times that I realize on separate occasions more so than others. I know church is rolling around and it's time for us to congregate together. On the inside, sometimes Brother Al and I tend to say, Lord, you just want to use somebody else. I was sitting there tonight as the ladies were singing. Man, I feel unworthy to stand tonight. I feel unworthy to stand. I feel unworthy to preach. But you know, as I was reflecting on that, Jesus didn't call me based upon me. He called me based upon His grace. And this is a heavenly calling. And tonight, you're called by grace, and you have a heavenly calling as well. And so this messenger, this angel, had a message for the disciples, but had a very special message for Peter. And it was, don't forget, guys, we want Peter in on this as well. So tonight, with the help of the Lord, just for a few moments, I want to preach a message entitled, A Special Message for Peter. A Special Message for Peter. I want to mention three things about this certain situation. And, of course, the things I'm going to mention, we can look inside our own minds, our own hearts, and see that we line just right beside Peter. We line up with him perfectly. But also to know that there's hope for us. Number one, I want you to notice that, or let me just say before we get to verse number 7 and the contents of it. Number one, Jesus prayed for Peter. He prayed for Peter. Flip over to the book of Luke, chapter number 22, if you would. Luke 22 for just a moment. And I want you to notice verse number 31 down through verse number 34, but we're going to stop in a couple different places. Luke chapter number 22, verse number 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. We see here that Jesus prayed for Peter. Now, Peter tonight, he was a former fisherman, as you know. He was strong and he was an able body. He was able to do things physically and get the job done. But on occasion, you might find Peter speaking out of term or context. He would say things and speak whatever came to his mind, and he would do it openly, and he was even boisterous at times. He was a hard and rough fisherman before the Lord saved him. So now we know that Peter is a child of God, and God has called him to be an apostle, and the Lord is using him, went from fishing for fish to fishing for men. But with Peter and himself having such a changed life, he is a perfect candidate for the devil. He's the perfect candidate for the devil to come along and try to lure him back out into the world. He's the perfect candidate for the devil to get on his shoulder and say, oh, little boy, it ain't worth serving God. The paydays, it's never going to pay off. Oh, hey, your Savior, he died upon the cross and he was buried and he didn't rise again. The devil has a tendency from time to time to not only, I'm sure, getting on Peter's shoulders, but our shoulders as well. He would love nothing more to discourage you tonight, to get you defeated tonight, to get you down and discouraged and depressed, to get you to even drift away from the cross tonight. That's what the devil would love to do. And I believe with all my heart that not only did Jesus pray for Peter, but I believe he's making intercession for us as well. I believe we have a great high priest who is our Father. He's our intercessor. He is pleading on our behalf. He tells God the Father every time we sin that we're innocent. Our sins are gone tonight. All of us that are saved and washed in the blood, past, present, future, all gone. And so we have Jesus tonight who prays for us. What a blessing that is. To know that our past sins are gone. Okay, I could deal with that. I thank the Lord my past sins are gone. But I have present sins at times. There's times where I'm in traffic and somebody cuts me off and I'm like, hey, buddy. put up a fist there. Hey, buddy! There's times where things don't happen as fast as I want them to, and I get angry on the inside. And sometimes I question the Lord what He's doing in my life. But all the while, I have a high priest. You have a high priest. You have this person in the name of Jesus who was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. He knows what it's like tonight. So therefore, He prays for us. He prays for us. He intercedes for us. And we see that Jesus prayed for Peter. Again, I want you to notice in verse 32, He says, "But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou wert converted," or turned back, or found repentance, there's been a change in your life. "When thou wert converted, Peter, I want you to strengthen your brethren." Maybe there's some here tonight who have dropped the ball, who's failed the Lord recently. Maybe there's even some watching on Facebook Live who's, the reason why they're not at church tonight is because they failed God last week. Can I just urge you tonight and suggest to you tonight, just cling to Jesus' hand because He has forgiven you. He wants to use you, and He prays for you. God has a way of strengthening us out of bad decisions. I want you to notice in verse number 31, the Bible says, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat." Now, I want you to notice the word "sift" here. That word "sift," it means to shake in a sieve. It also means to inwardly agitate. So, it's been a long time, but there was a time where I did a little bit of studying on, I believe it was the wheat and the tares. And during the process of actually harvesting wheat, from what I hear, I've never harvested wheat before. I just go to the store and buy it. But there's a sieve used, or a winnower, and it has all of these holes in it. And what you do is you lay the wheat on there, and you shake it. And what happens is what they call the chaff, or that which is not part of the whole grain wheat, well, it breaks apart. It falls off. And only that true grain is left behind. And so Jesus is talking to Peter, and He says, "Peter, the devil wants to put you in the shaker. He wants to shake things up in your life. He wants to line you up, and he wants to zero in right down the center of your life and just shake it up." Just like that. Has anybody ever been through things where you know the devil got in it and he's just trying to shake it up? Is the devil in anybody's life tonight, or close by, even a neighbor, trying to shake things up? Jesus says, "Peter, I'm praying for you because you're a man that I saved, and I called you to be my apostle, and you went from fishing for fish to fishing for men, and I have changed your life totally. And I want you to know that you are a perfect candidate to be shaken up by the devil." And might I say again, that's the reason why. One of the reasons why there's so many people out of church tonight, because the devil has got in the home and started to shake things up. He has shaken up some lives. And ever since this pandemic, and listen, I know I'm still trying to be sensitive to lives who don't feel like they're able and capable of coming into a public place of worship because of fears and struggles, immunity, and their systems being weakened. I'm being sensitive to that. But at the same time, a lot of people have used that as an excuse to stay out of church. And they don't realize how far they're drifting from the Lord. They don't realize how their homes is being shaken, and the Lord is just shaking things up. And so even in the midst of many not coming to church and attending, and it's not just Calvary, it's churches worldwide. It's happening everywhere. It's a falling away, I believe. It's the end of times. The Lord is soon returning. But he's saying that he is here to shake things up, and I'm praying for you that he don't shake you up. Well, we see in verse 31 that the devil wants to shake up Peter. Verse number 32, we see Jesus' intervention. And we see that, notice again in verse 32, he says, "But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." Here's the blessing. Here's the diamond in the rough about the devil coming to your house and mine. Okay? He tries to shake things up. And sometimes God allows him to have a little rope. Just listen to me, what I'm about to say. He allows him to have a little rope. But he does it for the sole purpose of shaking off and out of our life what is it real and what is it genuine. We say we'll walk with the Lord. We say we'll die for the Lord as Peter did. Well, he was put to the test and he failed. And he went out and he wept bitterly. Jesus allowed Satan to shake things up, but he says, "And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." Meaning there's something good going to come out of your fall. You're going to be strengthened. I'm going to use you on the day of Pentecost, and I'm going to use you in ways that you never even dreamed of. And so tonight I feel, and I know it's true, that the devil is the prince of the power of the air down here, this atmosphere. There's three heavens. There's the atmosphere where you see the birds and the blue sky. That's the first heaven. There's a second heaven. It's outer space. And then there's a third heaven, which is the abode of God. And the devil down here, he has power. He has given a little power to make havoc in people's lives. But whatever power he's given to do that, if there's real faith in your heart, if you're truly saved, God will use that failure, that fault, that stumble, that time of being in a far country. He'll use that for your benefit that you might be stronger. Amen. Speaking of this atmosphere, everybody uses, well, I won't use the word everybody. Probably most of everybody in here uses the internet. And did you know what the internet is? You have to have a device. So there's signals. You can't see them. There's signals everywhere going through the atmosphere from tower to tower for cell phone usage. There's internet signals. You can't see them. And there's all kinds of things that go on the internet and things you can find on the internet. There's good things you can find on the internet, like checking out the Braves before church tonight and knowing they won. But there's also bad things on the internet. And there's no limit to the good or the bad. But you can't see the signals. You can't see the garbage floating through the air. But it's there. You just got to have a device to pull it in. You just got to have a computer, a laptop, a tablet to pull it in. The ability to get on the internet is everywhere. It's in the atmosphere. Tonight, the devil is in the atmosphere. Not saying the internet is of the devil, because it's something I use myself for good purposes. But what I'm saying is the devil has the power over the air. In the same way, in the unseen world, there's signals bouncing everywhere with all kinds of messages. It's the same way with this invisible Satan and his helpers. He is in the atmosphere. He is in the building. He is in our presence at times. And so we see that sometimes there's this struggle with this presence of the devil and his demons. And sometimes we give in, and sometimes we're lured away from Jesus and his side, and sometimes he uses the internet to do that. And we are like a fish coming out of retreat. There's that bait. And we bite the bait. We take it in. And then we're sorrowful over what we did. And so somewhere in that process of thinking we're living it up and allowing the devil to entice us, and then the brokenness afterwards, somewhere in that process, if you are a true blood-bought child of God, there will be some maturity. There will be some growing out of that. Peter, no doubt, when he said, "Oh Lord, I will go." Look if you will, verse 33. "And he said unto him, Lord, I'm ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death." Well, he wanted to. I believe he wanted to. But he wasn't going to. Verse 34. "And he said, I will tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me." How about that? He told Peter what's going to happen. And we know that Peter ultimately failed. But Jesus prayed for him. In church tonight, he's praying for you. He's praying for me. We have an intercessor. We have the Holy Spirit that is offering up groanings which cannot be uttered. There's times we don't even know how to pray, and he makes sense of it to the Father. Tonight, we see that Jesus prayed for Peter. Number two, back to Mark 16. Not only Jesus prayed for Peter, but Jesus was passionate. He was passionate after the Apostle Peter. Notice, if you would, Mark 16, verse number 7. "But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him, as he said unto you." He was passionate after his apostle. I mean, it was Andrew who the Lord called first, and then Andrew findeth Peter, his brother. And it was these two brothers that started walking with the Lord. And don't you know that meant the world to Jesus? And Jesus witnessed this change where they left their nets and they followed him. And just because Peter made a blunder, and just because Peter failed Jesus and denied him, didn't mean that Jesus was going to leave him out of the future plans. So he says, but go your way, tell his disciples and Peter. He did this because if it was just disciples, I believe Peter wouldn't have responded. He would have been still in that dark place, loathing over his sin, grieving over his sin. And I believe that a Christian that sins will affect grief in some measure. Because if we grieve the Holy Spirit, then that will affect our body, physically and spiritually. But at the same time, the Lord doesn't want us to stay grieving. He wants us to admit that we sinned, confess it, and move on. And that's what will clean it up. And so we see that Jesus loved Peter. He said, "Go your way, tell his disciples and Peter." Specifically, not just the disciples, but and Peter. Jesus was passionate for him. John chapter number 13 and verse number 1, that latter part, that very last phrase says, he loved them until the end. Thank God tonight that we have a Lord that isn't like Justin. That isn't like me. Thank God tonight we have a Savior that isn't like you. Amen. It goes both ways. Because my love is conditional. As much as I try to exhibit God's love unconditionally, I can't fully do that because my depraved body isn't redeemed fully yet. So there's times where I say, "Well, I'll be their friend if they do this. Oh, buddy, they crossed me the wrong way. I don't forgive them." No, I ain't forgiving them. They crossed me the wrong way. I'm not forgiving them. No way. No how. But Jesus says that he loved them unto the end. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The key word in that whole verse, in my estimation, is the word so. How much love is in the word so? Such a little word, but so cram-packed of love. I remember, I don't know if it was the first time I told Christy I love you so much. It was one of the first times, because I remember reading that verse when I got saved. And later on we met, and I heard someone preaching on it, and man, it spoke to my heart. And so I said, Christy, I love you so much. She said, I love you too so much. As long as you do this, as long as you do that. That'd be more me than her. But we've tried to love each other so much. Because what's wrapped up in that word so is no conditions. Jesus died for a world that hated him, that mocked him. How many of you tonight, somebody walked up to you, men who have beards, it's the trending thing around Calvary now, walked up to you and just plucked your beard out. You just walk away, you know. Lord, please don't let anybody try that on me. I'm not that far along spiritually yet. I don't know if you can tell or not, but I did trim it down. So maybe I got an inkling somebody's going to try to pull my beard today. And God said, son, trim that thing down. So I trimmed it down a little bit. Now I can let it grow to Halloween for sure. And it'd be fine. But tonight, the word so unconditional. Jesus, he said, tell my disciples and Peter. He loved them to the end. If he didn't single Peter out in this, Peter would have stayed loathing over his sin. But you see, we're to confess our sin, those that are saved. It's not to get saved all over again, but to have our heart cleansed and to rise with peace and joy. Stay confessed up to date. Now, let me say this, that because of the wordage here, but go your way, tell his disciples and Peter. Peter did rise above. Over in John 21, turn to John 21 for a moment if you would. John chapter 21. Listen to this. John chapter number 21. We know that Peter was going fishing. And let me just say this, that this particular portion of Scripture, this chapter is in between Passover and Pentecost. So you can make your own conclusion as why he went fishing. I'll just leave it there. Not to mention Jesus says, I go to Galilee before you. But it was in between Passover and Pentecost. We're right on the heels of the book of Acts. And Peter says, I go fishing. And the last time we heard about Peter, he was crying and he was loathing over his sin. Now, we know that they went fishing all night and they caught nothing. And then there was a man on shore who was Jesus. In verse number 5, he asked him, then saith Jesus unto them, children, have ye any meat? They answered him, no. And he tells them, verse 6, to cast the net on the right side, you shall find. And they were not able to draw the net because of the great multitude of fish or fishes. Look in verse number 7. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved, keep in mind, this is John writing the book of John, and he doesn't mention his name. He's a humble fella. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and he did cast himself into the sea. You say, why did he not have it on his coat? Well, if you read this out, morning was sun was coming out. It was daybreak. It was getting warm and hot. During the night is when they go fishing, when things are cool. So we see that in verse number 7, he girded his fisher's coat and he cast himself into the sea. You say, Brother Justin, why did he cast himself into the sea? I believe this. I believe the message got back to Peter. And maybe it went something like this. The women come and say, "We've seen the Lord. We've seen the Lord. And we were given a certain message. Oh, and Peter, he wanted me to tell you specifically. For whatever reason, Peter, the angel told me to tell all of you, and you too, Peter." I feel like, this is my own interpretation here, I feel like Peter heard that, and he knew exactly why the message was the way it was, because Jesus wanted him to know he was forgiven. He wanted him to know that you're still in the body, you're still one of us, or you're still a disciple. And so I believe when John said, "It's the Lord," Peter grabbed his coat, he jumped overboard, and he went toward the shore. And we know that Peter brought those fish up, and we know the Bible says Jesus has come and died. I'll finish the rest of that in just a moment. But we see that Jesus was passionate for Peter. "Tell my disciples and Peter." It worked. It worked. The message got to him. It hit his heart. And he gravitated back toward Jesus. You and I tonight, same is true for us. Let us, no matter the ash heap, let us rise. No matter what has happened in the past, if you know Jesus, he wants you to rise tonight. He wants you to rise to the occasion. He wants you to have joy once again. He wants you to have peace within. He wants you to do what Paul says, and forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth to those things which are before, pressing toward the mark of the prize. You're calling in Jesus. The Lord wants you to rise and follow him again. Maybe there's someone watching who needs to rise. Not only are you not in church tonight, but you failed God miserably. Maybe there's someone watching tonight who's hooked on alcohol or drugs. Maybe you're even doing drugs right now watching this church service because you're so addicted, but you love God so much and you're trying to give it up and you're trying to quit, but the addiction won't let you. Maybe tonight you just need to come back to the cross and say, "Jesus, the more I try to give it up, the deeper I get ingrained in it. I surrender all tonight. And I make my way back to you." Tonight, let that be the case. Let that be the case tonight. Because that's what he wants us to do. He wants us to rise and serve him. That's what Peter did. He took a dive. Somebody needs to take a dive one more time back into faith and live for God. One more thing and I'm done. Jesus prayed for the apostle. Jesus was passionate for Peter. But then lastly, Jesus still had a purpose for Peter. Again, he says this with special significance. He tells him, "Go your way," back in our verses, Mark 16:7, "but go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him as he said unto you." He said that because he still had a purpose for him. He was still going to use Peter. In fact, we're on the heels of, or we were in the book of John, on the heels of the book of Acts. And we know that the Lord used Peter on the day of Pentecost. We know God used Peter to write 1 Peter and 2 Peter. And back over in John chapter number 21, I'll just give it to you. But after they came ashore, Notice this. Jesus saith unto them, back in John 21, verse 12, I'll give it to you. Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. And none of his disciples durst ask him, who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord. So Peter knew who it was, and he was making his way to him. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus turns his seat to Peter and he begins to speak. He says, so when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. I'm not through with you, Peter. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And notice this, Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. There were two people specifically that knew what Jesus was talking about, Jesus and Peter. But the point I'm trying to make is this. He still had a purpose for him, and he told him, feed my sheep, feed my lambs, three different times. And that's exactly what he did. You may be down. You may feel like you're out tonight. God still has a purpose, and God still has a plan. Tonight was just a special message for Peter, but also for someone else who may be here in person or online. God wants you to get up and rise and go again. Father, we love you tonight. We praise you. Take the message, Lord, tonight. Something we've all heard many, many times, this portion of Scripture. Lord, I pray that you would use it for the heart that needs it the most. Even those online would listen to you and start their week off the right way, closer to Christ. We love you, we thank you, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet tonight. We have a verse of invitation. You come if you need to come. Anybody on the first verse need to come, start your week off right. Any young person, start your school week off the right way. Young person or older person, anyone. Continuing to sing while we have some praying, you come. If you feel led to come like you need to come, you come. His love is reaching out to you tonight. While these are playing, praying, you're playing, let me just mention a couple things. We mentioned these this morning, but I want to reiterate again since we have it fresh on our minds. The last Sunday of the month, Brother Craig Edwards will be here Sunday morning, Sunday night, preaching on discouragement that night. I'll be away at Floyd Road that morning. We'll be back on the night service so I can hear Brother Craig. And remember homecoming on 9/11. Still working out some details, and so we'll let you know a little more a little later about service plans on that day. And just remember all these on the prayer list: Brother Eddie Rich, Miss Brenda Rawls, Miss Claudia, Mary Ann Sanvey, Ruby Harper, the Bendys, and Richard Martin. Just remember all of these tonight in your prayers. Do we have anything else to mention before we close out the meeting? All right. It's been a great day today. It always is. And we'll be dismissed in a word of prayer. Everybody have a really, really good night and a great week this week. Brother Ceylon, would you close us out tonight?